and on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A SpaceX rocket carrying four NASA astronauts is now on the way to the International Space Station.
On behalf of the entire Falcon team, we thank you for flying with Falcon and wish you a great mission.
Their capsule will bring astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams back to Earth more than 9 months after the two began what was supposed to be a week-long mission. CBS's Mark Strassman says the two astronauts aren't complaining.
For all the talk of astronauts being stuck in space or abandoned in space, what they have said over and over is that they don't feel that way at all. For an astronaut, being in space is the sweet spot. This is what they have trained for and what they have dedicated so much of their professional lives to achieving.
Severe storms have pummeled a large swath of the U.S. from the west to the deep south. CBS's Dave Malkoff is in Memphis.
The risk is as high as it gets for these really severe storms, and the risk area is huge. We're talking about Chicago, all the way down to New Orleans from New York, all the way over to New Mexico, where we've already had 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Three people were killed Friday in car crashes during a dust storm in Amarillo County in the Texas Panhandle, and there have now been five weather-related deaths in Missouri. The Senate has approved a Republican bill to fund the government through September. CBS's Linda Kenyon says Democrats were split over the bill.
The bill to fund government functions through September divided Democrats, in part because it boosts defense spending by $6 billion, but it cuts domestic spending by more than twice that amount. The Senate's Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, didn't like the bill himself, but he urged his caucus to support it over a procedural hurdle. He cautioned that blocking it would lead to a government shutdown and would further empower the Department of Government Efficiency to shutter government agencies indefinitely.
In a speech at the Justice Department yesterday, President Trump promised to go after federal prosecutors who pursued charges against him after his first term.
So now, as the chief law enforcement officer in our country, I will insist upon and demand full and complete accountability for the wrongs and abuses that have occurred.
CBS's Scott McFarland says the speech was jarring.
It's shocking. It's unprecedented.
Stacey Young, an 18-year veteran who resigned in January, says her fellow civil servants in Department of Justice offices nationwide face retribution for handling cases Trump allies don't like.
These are the people who keep our community safe and our nation secure.
Why are they gone now?
They're gone because they have been described by this administration as political operatives, as people who are somehow opposed to this particular president.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms possible today. Temperatures will fall into the mid-40s, and winds will be gusting out of the southeast. Chance of rain or snow tonight, lows around 23. Becoming sunny for Sunday with a high near 38. Back to the mid-50s on Monday, 50 for Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We've got a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We're going to be talking about Irish heritage. We've got live Irish music. We'll explain what the heck curling is. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com. By the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, March 28th through 30th at Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. And by Ducks Unlimited. If you'd like to help a DU chapter or start one in your area, visit volunteers.ducks.org. You can make a difference. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll talk with National Deer Association CEO Nick Pinizzato and hear how quagga mussels are affecting Great Lake shipwrecks. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit Hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins me from his home in Wisconsin Rapids. Well, Jeff, you actually got to spend a week at home, eh?
I did, believe it or not, spend a week at home, did a lot of catching up. It's a transition time of year where some days you can get outside, get some work done. Some days you got to catch up on just some paperwork type things and taxes and all that too.
Yeah. Taxes. Nice topic you bring up. I'm working on that myself.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I was actually hoping to maybe do a little bit of walleye fishing on the Wisconsin River, before we get into Spring Valley, Masters Walleye Circuit event next week. Might still happen this next week, but a lot of work still to get done, on the trailer and the tournament stuff as well. Now that that is at my house and, a lot of prep work for the Masters Walleye Circuit coming up, Spring Valley, Illinois River. We got a good amount of guys sign up already, but that registration's open until Monday night if people want to get in. Always a fun time, Dan. You know, some guys are just pulling out of ice in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan and ready to go hit that open water. And you know, the saugers are doing what saugers do and walleyes do every spring. They're getting ready to spawn, and we're gonna hit it pretty good, I think, without any major rainfalls or major flooding, and it's not supposed to be freezing temps. I think the lowest temp so far that I see for next week, for down there, is like 35, 36. So cold, but not freezing.
Well, that'll be a change from some of your opening season events down in Spring Valley, Illinois.
Yeah. I've been there as cold as 12. So I'll take mid 50s during the day and 30s at night. No problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Sports Show last weekend at State Fair Park. As you know, it was a good show. I would say better than last year in terms of attendance, layout, and mix of vendors and exhibitors. I talked to a lot of folks who listen to us on the radio, and a lot more, probably more, who have listened or who have watched Outdoor Wisconsin over the years. And the basic question I got was, what happened to the show? Are you going to bring Outdoor Wisconsin back? And all I could tell them is, stay tuned or stand by, because I am working with a team of people and we hope to have a new show sometime in the not too distant future. But that's all up in the air at this point. And, you know, I've been walking to stay in shape, or I guess not to get any more out of shape. And I've been on our road most of the time and sometimes on neighbors' pastures and fields when the walking isn't too bad. And I'm finding lots of trash on the shoulder. There's no dedicated group that's cleaning up our road or the roads right in our immediate area. So I've been picking up beer cans mostly. And I don't know what it is about, well, first of all, drinking and driving. We all know that's a no-no. But there's at least one guy and maybe a couple, I don't know, who are drinking and tossing their beer cans out on the shoulder of our road. On one walk last week, I must have picked up at 24 cans, a case of cans. Now, that's probably from a whole winter, but I don't know what's in their minds. I know what's in their belly because they've emptied the beer can, but I don't get it, Jeff. I really don't.
That's obviously, you know, you touched on it. It's unsafe if that's really happening, drinking and driving. And, Yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not good for anybody. It doesn't, to keep garbage in a vehicle. I know people say, well, it could have blown out of the back of a truck. Well, truth be told, you don't need to be throwing garbage in the back of a truck either.
Yeah.
There are so many places that have outdoor receptacles that most people stop at, gas stations, fast food restaurants, whatever it may be, your own house. I mean, pick up your trash. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah. And this one particular group or individual, they are favoring a, I won't name the brand, but a light beer, which is a very inexpensive brand. And my goodness, they could at least drink a decent beer. But I guess they'd be more affected if they did drink a decent beer.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway. Well, in September, I will be hosting another trip to Ballard's Black Island Resort, and that's on the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods. September 12th through the 16th, we'll be there. We're limited to 20 people in all, so if you're interested, visit blackisland.com. Pull down the trips tab and look for my name. You can call the phone number there for more information. That's blackisland.com. Well, coming up, two interesting conversations. National Deer Association CEO Nick Pinizzato previews his seminar at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, March 28th through 30th at Kalahari in the Dells. And we'll talk with underwater archaeologist Tamara Thompson, who explains how quagga mussels are damaging shipwrecks in the Great Lakes and why that matters. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Get ready for the season at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, presented by Progressive and Can-Am. Join us at the Kalahari Resorts and Conventions March 28th to 30th. You'll find all the hunting products and top-notch gear at show-only prices. Showcase your buck in the Bushlight Trophy Deer Contest and learn from our industry experts. Even trick shooting with Byron Ferguson. Plus, see Twiggy the Water Skiing's Squirrel perform live. Get your discount tickets at OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. Prices increase March 27th. Be sure to check out Tecticam, official cell cam of the Expo.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Attention future hunters, hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's no secret there are dozens, maybe even hundreds, of exotic invasive species in the Great Lakes, from the sea lamprey that most of us are familiar with to the tiny, spiny water flea, and a lot of others as well. And I'm sure you've heard of zebra mussels, that small, invasive, clam-like creature that colonizes piers and boat hulls and other underwater structures. Well, in the last decade or so, another invasive mussel, the quagga mussel, has really exploded in deeper water in the lower Great Lakes. And now they cover just about every hard surface on the bottom of all the Great Lakes except Lake Superior. And joining us now to talk about the impact of quagga mussels on Great Lakes underwater structure, and in particular shipwrecks, is Tamara Thompson. She is a maritime archaeologist in the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society. And there are a couple of websites where you can learn more. WisconsinShipwrecks.org and WisconsinHistory.org. Well, Tamara, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I learned about this issue from an Associated Press article by Todd Richman that quoted you as saying, something I just said in the intro, every shipwreck in the lower Great Lakes is covered with quagga mussels. And we'll get to why this is a problem, but first, what are these mussels and where did they come from? What can you tell us about them?
Well, they are a cousin of the zebra mussel, and they came from the Adriatic Sea, and they came in ballast water from ships. So when the ships transited the Welland Canal, came in from Ocean Service, came into the Great Lakes, and then needed to ballast out in order to stabilize the ship once they took on cargo or let off cargo, they changed that water and out were these mussel larvae that came with it.
And the rest is history, as they say, because they do that, they do that in all the ports or in transit between ports, the ships do.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And how big are they? I'm familiar with zebra mussels, which are about fingernail size. The quaggas are bigger, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're about the size of your thumb fingernail, so a little bit bigger, and they're more robust. They don't require the water movement that the zebra mussels do. So they are more pervasive. They cover not only the shipwreck themselves on the outside, like the zebra mussels did, but they also can cover all the surfaces inside the shipwreck as well. And they carpet the bottom of the Great Lakes, so they don't really require the structure even to live on to support them. And I'm not sure if you knew this, but when we're talking about Lake Michigan anyway, the quagga mussels have outcompeted the zebra mussels. So when you're looking at this, 99.9% of the mussels you see growing on shipwrecks are quagga mussels. There are hardly any zebra mussels left.
Yeah, I heard that they basically outcompeted, took over. What happened? They didn't eat them, did they?
It's just that they don't require all of the things that the zebra mussels did, so it was easier for them to take over and completely cover, well, everything.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, we won't go too deep into the biology. I may talk to a biologist about that sometime down the road, but why is this a problem? So we've got these ships that sank, some of them more than 100 years ago. They're on the bottom. They're covered with clams. So what?
Okay, so they all have mass. So even though they're tiny individuals, when you look at them and this colonization that's happening all over the top of shipwrecks, there's some weight to them. Mm. And so on very fragilely built ships that we're trying to learn about the construction features of, they're covering them, they're providing this weight, which then causes at least the wooden structures to sag. And the other thing, too, is if you think about ships were designed to be hydrodynamic. So even as even though they're underwater, there's water that flows over them. So when there are these mussels that are colonizing, it creates sort of this vibration as water passes over. So again, more stress on these shipwrecks. The other thing that's interesting with the zebras and now the quaggas is that they have a little tendril, little attachment point that allows them to perch themselves on these shipwrecks. And so with wooden shipwrecks, that sort of burrows in. And divers really like to see the features. And so in a lot of cases, the divers will go down and brush off where there had been a name board or some intricate carving. And every time they brush off the mussels, a little piece of wood comes. I don't know if you have a house that's covered with that has bricks and you get vines that climb up and they say, don't pull the vines off your house. Same thing with these shipwrecks. The divers shouldn't pull the mussels off the shipwreck because they're taking a little piece of that structure with them that will deteriorate the shipwrecks faster. when we're talking about metal shipwrecks, it's a whole other story. Again, they're attaching themselves to the shipwrecks. But what happens is they're, you know, little biological beings, and they're filtering the water. So as they filter the water, they actually produce carbon dioxide in their respiration. And what happens is there's a microenvironment of that carbon dioxide that then sits between the shell and the metal structure. And carbon dioxide and water is carbonic acid. So it's an acidified layer that's in between the muscles and the shipwreck. And it's causing that metal to deteriorate at an exponential rate. And so we've done studies looking at, in particularly, the iron and the steel shipwrecks to understand, you know, how fast this deterioration is happening. And then as archaeologists and as resource managers, to record those features as quickly as we can, because we know that those shipwrecks aren't going to be with us or are going to change substantially in very rapid time.
So as an archaeologist, are you doing the underwater equivalent of, say, a dig at a place like Aztalan or someplace like that?
Well, we're not digging. So we do is what's called phase two archaeology. So we document everything in place. So nothing is removed. Everything is recorded either by, you know, taking notes and measurements, drawing features as we're down there, or what we've done now in more recent years is we've moved towards doing photogrammetry models. And photogrammetry models is where you take a series of photos in all different directions and orientations around the shipwreck. And then you put them into a program called Metashape Pro, and it generates a model of the ship. Now, what's interesting about this is that if you take models year after year after year, or even sequentially every 5 years or every 10 years, you can then watch this ship deteriorate over time, and you can watch the increase in colonization of the muscles on the structure. We also have in the shipwrecks in Wisconsin anyway, sort of this tourism component. The more stuff that's on the shipwreck, the more interesting it is to divers, but also kayakers and snorkelers. So there's some in shallow water too. So we don't want to remove all of the artifacts that are associated with it. We want those to be there in place where they were when they went down with the ship. They tell that story of man's use of the waterway and that point in time when they served on the ship, what shipboard life was like. And the more things that are on there, again, the more people want to come and see it. And we want it to be fresh for the next generation of people for them to discover.
And those artifacts are essentially protected.
Yeah, it became illegal in the state of Wisconsin to remove things from shipwrecks in 1965. Uh-huh. And then federal protection came in 1987 with the Abandoned Shipwreck Act. So there are multiple layers of law that protect shipwrecks from artifact removal, looting, and also damage.
Okay, well, Tamara, this is fascinating, and I need to take a break. So will you stay with us, and we'll come back in a couple minutes?
Sure will.
All right. Folks, I'm talking with Tamara Thompson. She is a maritime archaeologist with the state of Wisconsin, and we'll be back after this. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio coming up.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm talking with Tamara Thompson. She is a maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society, and we're talking about shipwrecks, and in particular, how the quagga mussels are impacting shipwrecks. Tamara, you were talking about how you want to preserve these shipwrecks for their historical value and also as tourist sites, essentially, where people can sometimes either dive or just see them if they're in shallow water.
Yes, that's exactly the idea. We're recording any features and also artifacts that are with the ship. Something that a lot of people don't understand, they would think there's probably blueprints out there. But for the workaday schooner from the 1880s, really 1860s to 1880s, the ships were made and shipbuilding was learned by apprenticeship. So a lot of times those plans don't exist. It's very, very rare. And so what we understand about ship construction, even modification over time for use in other trades. And in some cases in Wisconsin, we have a lot of shipwrecks here. We can look at the designs and design change over time that occurred with a particular builder and see how from the first ships or ships that they built to the last ones, how they changed and modified the way that they built ships so that they could be bigger and carry more cargo and go further or possibly through the well and canal locks and trade on the lower lakes.
Now, the shipwrecks are there to be studied, but what about the ships that never sank? Are there any of those still around?
Well, there aren't a whole lot of them. We do have a couple that could be of interest for people to go see. Up in Superior, there is the whaleback carrier Meteor.
Yes.
This is the last of its kind. That's been listed to the National Register of Historic Places in 1974. And then I was able to work on it again in 2018 to elevate its listing to the national level of significance. So it's a whole vessel type that we no longer see anymore. The only examples are five examples that exist that are on the lake bottom as shipwrecks, and this one that is a museum ship owned by the city of Superior.
Yes, I have seen that ship. You mentioned Lake Superior, and my son is actually a sailboat captain on Lake Superior, and he's a regular guest on this show, and he's told me that on calm days, which they have a few of up there, they see at least one shipwreck, and it's not far from shore, and I believe it's near Red Cliff. It's in the Bayfield area.
Oh, it's probably the Fedora.
I think that's
so
it,
that's,
yes.
So that's in very, very shallow water. I'd hope he doesn't go in there with a sailboat. But
well, they've seen it from a kayak, too. I know that.
Okay. We know of a lot of people that go kayaking and go visit that ship. It's very easy to access. It's right out from where the casino is there. Mm-hmm. There's also, they've feels like adventuring up to Red Cliff Bay. There's two other shipwrecks that are there that are also easy to see. One is actually up on shore, and it's called the H.D. Coffinberry, and you can see this sticking out of the water right at the tip of Red Cliff Bay. And then just out in front of that is one on the bottom, and again, on clear and calm days, you can see that, and that is the steamer Ottawa.
Uh-huh. Now, we've been talking about what the quagga mussels are doing. You must be fighting a race against time because these mussels, I mean, they're here and there are more of them every year, right?
Yeah, that's true. So especially in Lake Michigan, any time that there is a new discovery, especially in the iron or steel shipwrecks, we're working very diligently to try to find funding and time and personnel to go out and record as much as we can, as quickly as we can.
People who are interested in history might care about this, but why should, you know, the average boater or angler or Joe citizen care about this?
Oh, this is our history to share. And again, if you're out on Lake Michigan, it can sometimes be a lonely place and you don't see a boat or maybe one on the horizon. You can go back in time if you just think about a time when there were thousands of sailing vessels on that lake. And there were so many collisions and near misses that happened off of these harbors. And then we can also thank all of these mariners that have been there before for charting the lakes.
Is there anything we can do to help?
There is something that you can do to help, and that is when you are moving your boats around, do as you're supposed to, clean the bilge, make sure you've drained all of the water. As you're, you know, pulling your boat out, make sure that there are no invasive species on your trailer that you're carrying to other lakes. And again, appreciate these resources that we have now, because they will change over time. And that's likely because of this colonization that's happening.
Now, you get a chance to actually dive on these lakes and photograph some of them, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's a really great part of my job.
What's the most interesting thing you've found?
The most interesting thing that I found diving on shipwrecks is actually a mast step coin. This is one of those things that you hear about when you're studying shipbuilding. They would, for good luck, put a coin of the year the ship was constructed in the mainmast step. And then before they righted the mast, that was put in there for good luck. And you hear about this happening, this tradition, but you hardly ever see it for a couple of reasons. A lot of times the masts are broken off and that's covered up with other features. It's way in the internal part of the ship. And at one time we were doing a survey up in Jacksonport in Door County, and there was a wreck there that we were saying we did not know the name of the vessel. And it turned out that one of our volunteers was from New Zealand. He was studying to be an underwater archaeologist there, and he came up to spend some time with us that summer. And everyone figured out that you could scare the bejesus out of him if you threw coins on him as you snorkeled over out to the site, and because there would be something kind of flitting through the water. And if you're an underwater archaeologist in New Zealand, everything's trying to eat you, which is not the case in the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
So they thought this was hilarious, and it ended up at the end of the survey that the shipwreck was covered with coins.
Oh.
And as I was cleaning up the mess that we had created and extra pencils and things that get left out when you do survey work, I noticed that one of the coins was a little older. And one of our volunteers, Russell Lights, was taking stock of everything that we were missing and needed to find and so on. And I said, the front of my bag is filled with some coins. I said, one of the older ones I'd like to take a look at, because, you know, my dad collects coins, and although he probably has this one, he'll at least know that I'm thinking of him. And he pulled it out and he was like, oh, that's a really old coin. It ended up being an 1848 Seated Liberty dime. And that allowed us to pin the name on the shipwreck. Otherwise, it was, you know, of a very generic size and shape and function that we probably wouldn't have been able to put a name to it. And the name of the ship is the Annie Doll. It had originally been built as the ship called the Mary. Then that sunk, and on top of the keel, they built the Annie Doll. It's kind of cool that you're able to, with that one artifact, be able to associate an entire story with the resource on the bottom.
Wow, that's a fascinating story. How many shipwrecks are there in Wisconsin on, let's say, just on Lake Michigan?
Well, I don't know just on Lake Michigan. I'd have to query our database. But okay. I know in all of Wisconsin waters, we have just over 780 historic losses. And those are commercial vessels. So these are just, you know, in the Great Lakes or on the navigable waterways.
Mm-hmm.
So rivers and that type of thing. Inland lakes is a whole nother story. So there's a number of boat building companies that were, you know, unique to various areas. We call these vernacular craft, and we're just starting to look at and understand some of those through the record, through what's on the bottom.
So you've got a little work ahead of you yet.
A whole lifetime ahead. So yeah, there's no lack of something to do for anyone that comes behind me.
All right. Well, Tamara, thanks so much for sharing your underwater experience and your documentation of some of these shipwrecks. It's a fascinating subject, and I hope some of our listeners are interested enough to pursue it. And you mentioned a couple of websites. Can you tell us again what those are that we can go to learn more?
Sure. So you can go to wisconsinshipwrecks.org. All 780 shipwrecks that are lost in Wisconsin, not all of them are found, but information on them is on that website, or wisconsinhistory.org, which is Wisconsin Historical Society's site, and lots of pictures and information on Wisconsin history there.
Very good. Thanks so much for sharing all this information with us.
Oh, again, thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. Tamara Thompson, she is a maritime archaeologist in the State Historic Preservation Office of the Wisconsin Historical Society. As she mentioned, WisconsinShipwrecks.org or WisconsinHistory.org are two websites you can visit for more information. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Get ready for the season at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, presented by Progressive and Can-Am. Join us at the Kalahari Resorts and Conventions March 28th to 30th. You'll find all the hunting products and top-notch gear at show-only prices. Showcase your buck in the Bushlight Trophy Deer Contest and learn from our industry experts. Even trick shooting with Byron Ferguson. Plus, see Twiggy the Water Skiing Squirrel perform live. Get your discount tickets at OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. Prices increase March 27th. Be sure to check out Tecticam, official cell cam of the Expo.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a SpaceX capsule is headed toward the International Space Station at this hour with four NASA astronauts on board. The rocket lifted off yesterday from the Kennedy Space Center.
On behalf of the entire Falcon team, we thank you for flying with Falcon and wish you a great mission.
Two astronauts who've been stuck on the space station for 9 months are scheduled to come home in the capsule next week. Large sections of the country are in the path of severe storms. CBS's Dave Malkoff is in Memphis.
The risk is as high as it gets for these really severe storms, and the risk area is huge. Chicago, all the way down to New Orleans, from New York all the way over to New Mexico.
Some Democratic senators voted to approve a Republican budget bill. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The Senate's Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, didn't like the bill himself, but he urged his caucus to support it and that blocking it would lead to a government shutdown and would further empower the Department of Government Efficiency to shutter government agencies indefinitely.
CBS News Brief. I'm
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms possible today. Temperatures will fall into the mid-40s, and winds will be gusting out of the southeast. Chance of rain or snow tonight, lows around 23. Becoming sunny for Sunday with a high near 38. Back to the mid-50s on Monday. 50 for Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. The Open Season Sportsman's Expo is coming to Wisconsin March 28th through the 30th at Kalahari Resort in the Dells. And you can learn all about that event and who's going to be there and what you can do there at OpenSeasonSportsmansExpo.com. And we've been talking with upcoming guests at that expo every week now, and joining us to talk about his seminar at this year's expo is Nick Pinizzato. He is CEO and president of the National Deer Association, the country's premier wild deer conservation organization. And Nick is going to talk about the benefits of holistic deer management. Nick, thanks for joining us and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we are looking forward to hearing what you have to share about deer hunting. But before we get into that, what is NDA, the National Deer Association? Some people might not be familiar with the organization.
Yeah, the National Deer Association, as you had said in your intro there, we really are the leading authority on wild deer conservation, and so that encompasses everything from deer science, so a lot of the latest research from our university partners and other researchers. We help interpret that and get it out to people that want to know more about deer and what makes them tick. We also introduce people to deer hunting, people that have always wanted to hunt but never had the opportunity, through like our Field to Fork program. We also do deer policy work, everything from working to help make sure regulations are good and suitable for deer and hunters, but also on the policy end of things, everything from DC to down to local government. So making sure we have good policy for deer habitat and hunting and a whole bunch of other stuff in between there. We do forestry work with the U.S. Forest Service. We're actually close to having improved over 1 million acres of forests across the country. And so I think sometimes people get a little confused because they hear National Deer Association and it seems new, but we are almost a 40-year-old organization, and we were previously known as the Quality Deer Management Association. Same organization, we just went through a merger and a name change, but still doing all the same great stuff.
I'm glad you explained that merger, because I know people are familiar with QDA. We still see QDA signs up on properties when we're out in the woods and so on. Well, good. So you are speaking on holistic deer management. What the heck is that?
Wow. Yeah, man, I might need a half hour here, but I'll do my best. That's going to be my talk. We're going to be talking about holistic deer management and how that relates to mature buck harvest. I'm really excited to do this because in my role, I don't get a chance to a lot of times step in and talk about what we call the red meat stuff, the hunting and chasing nice deer, which is something I love to do. So I'm really excited to give this talk. I'm going to explain to people that big bucks don't just happen. I mean, they can happen. There are certain areas where you're blessed to live in an area, and Wisconsin's one of them that has great deer.
Yep.
But there's things that you can do to make those opportunities even greater. And so I'm going to get into some of the management aspects in terms of what you can do on a property, whether you own your own or maybe it's land that you're leasing or share with somebody, and also some simple things that anybody can do just with deciding which deer to harvest and making sure you're shooting enough does, working with your neighbors, those types of things. So I'm going to get into some of the nitty gritty on the ground science, and then we're going to get into even the fun stuff, just some of the strategy and what it takes to get close to an older age class deer.
Now, a lot of people talk about trying to hold deer on your property, and I don't know if you're going to address that, but if you do, what is the most important part? Is it the size of the property or what you've got on the property or what?
Well, the number one thing is good habitat.
Okay.
And so, you know, big deer, a lot of times people are focused on the animal itself. And even, you know, what you said there, people want to keep deer on their property. Well, good deer are a symptom of good management and good habitat. And so if you're working on the habitat, the deer are just going to want to stay there. They're not very good at just recognizing property boundaries and that type of thing.
Right.
But what they do want to do is spend time where they enjoy themselves and where they can be healthy and where they can be safe. And so that means you're going to have good cover for them to hide in and to fawn in, to get away from predators, but also good opportunities for them to eat and all of those types of factors. And so it's more about what you can build and maintain on the places you hunt, more so than trying to keep a deer on a particular property.
Okay. The brief description of your seminar mentions something called TSI. What is that?
Timber stand improvement.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we're going to get into that and some things like early successional habitat, which is basically manipulating forest landscapes and trying to encourage this young new growth, which deer happen to love, as well as a lot of other species. And it's not always about kind of what you see on television with the big, vast green food plots for acres and acres. I mean, there's a place for those. But I'm going to talk about some other things that you can do without having to go in and do food plots and those types of things to attract deer.
Okay. Some people believe that turkeys and deer are competitors. Their habitat preferences overlap in some ways, and they differ in some ways. And I had a conversation, just a chance conversation, with a farmer this past weekend when I stopped at my archery shop on the way home from the Milwaukee Sports Show. And he was talking deer, and I happened to mention turkeys, and he almost went ballistic about how terrible the turkeys were. They were crowding out his deer, and I called him on that one, of course. We ended up shaking hands and grinning about our different opinions, you know. But what's your take on deer and turkeys on the same property?
I want to have lots of deer and lots of turkeys on my property. I know that. They are, I guess, in some sense, you could say they compete because, you know, they do eat the same sorts of things. I can tell you many times I've seen deer come through eating acorns, and they're kind of sloppy eaters, and the turkeys will follow right in behind them and clean up what they left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's common. I've also seen, and it's frustrating, I've gone out and planted a food plot, and then I start seeing my camera pictures come in, and it's turkeys out there following behind me, plucking my food plot seeds out. But, you know, they never take it all. And so, you know, turkeys too, deer do this as well, but turkeys in particular, they can go pretty vast distances chasing different food sources at different times of the year. And so it's also kind of the timing of when turkeys are on your property. Like I can tell you, on my place in Pennsylvania, I haven't seen a turkey there for the last 2 months, but I know, based on history, as we start greening up, I'm going to start seeing them, which is perfect because turkey season's coming up, and that's the time I want them there, is in the spring.
Yep.
When we do habitat work, we're focusing on deer, but we know that deer habitat work benefits so many other species. And again, it gets back to my main point, and that was, if you have good habitat, you can have good deer, you can have good turkeys, you can have a predator population that's sustainable. So it really just comes down to the habitat.
And one more topic mentioned in the brief description of your seminar is disease management. You know, Wisconsin is kind of the epicenter of CWD, and Pennsylvania has been seeing an increase in CWD. Is there anything you think we can do about it, or that you're going to suggest people can do about it?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk certainly about overall herd management. We're going to talk about things like doe harvest, making sure you're filling your tags. And so there are some things that hunters can do. And I know it can be frustrating because it feels like such a long game. And you say, well, we're never going to win this game anyway. And I'm just going to have fun while I can and so on and so forth. And so we're trying to ask people to just be a little bit more, you know, longer minded or willing to play a bit of a longer game. And so simply making sure you're filling antlerless tags, filling a buck tag if you can, that certainly helps. And so, that's really, and habitat is another one too. I keep bringing up habitat, but if you have good habitat, you're going to have deer using that habitat and not necessarily being right up against each other in small pieces of good habitat where they have more of a tendency to spread that disease around. It's about keeping herds in check and keeping good habitat so that they can spread out a little bit. Those are some of the ways that we can help.
All right. Well, Nick, I am looking forward to meeting you. I've been aware of you and the work of your organization. I will be there for 3 days, and I'm sure folks, now they have a taste of your seminar, I'm sure folks who are interested in deer and deer habitat, and that's everybody who goes to this expo for the most part, will be interested in hearing more. So thanks so much for sharing that, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Yeah, can't wait to see everybody there. Looking forward to it.
All right. Nick Pinizzato, he is CEO of the National Deer Association. The National Deer Association website is deerassociation.com or .org. And, of course, the expo website is openseasonsportsmansexpo.com. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Get ready for the season at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, presented by Progressive and Can-Am. Join us at the Kalahari Resorts and Conventions March 28th to 30th. You'll find all the hunting products and top-notch gear at show-only prices. Showcase your buck in the Bushlight Trophy Deer Contest and learn from our industry experts. Even trick shooting with Byron Ferguson. Plus, see Twiggy, the Waters King's Bro, perform live. Get your discount tickets at openseasonsportsmansexpo.com. Prices increase March 27th. Be sure to check out Tecticam, official cell cam of the expo.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library. Lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Their in-house boat show is this week, March 12th through the 16th. They have lots of new boats and some leftover 2024 models with great prices and some rebates. Find details on their website. We're also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, PROF, hearingcare.com. By the Open Season Sportsman's Expo, March 28th through the 30th at Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, openseasonsportsmansexpo.com, and by Ducks Unlimited. If you'd like to help a DU chapter or start one in your area, visit volunteers.ducks.org. You can make a difference.
Yes, you can. And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you happen to live, you can watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And if you missed my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, last year's show and several shows prior to that are archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
And the radio show that we're doing right now that you're hearing is actually online all the time. If you want to listen to this one again, want to listen to back episodes, we're online at lake-link.com. Go to their outdoor radio page. You can listen there, or you can check us out at outdoornews.com/podcasts. And we're on social media. Dan can be found at Dan Small Outdoors. You can find me at Hardwater Jeff.
Again, a reminder, in September, I'm hosting my fifth trip to Ballard's Black Island Resort on the Canadian side of Lake of the Woods. 5 years now, starting back in 2018 with a couple of years off for COVID. That tells you that I had a good time and it's a great trip. The dates are September 12 through 16. We can handle 20 people in all. There's still a few spots open. So if you're interested, visit blackisland.com. Pull down the trips tab, find my name, and you'll get information on how to sign up and everything else there. BlackIsland.com. And speaking of signing up, there's still time to sign up for next weekend's Capital City Chapter of Muskies, Inc. Muskie School. That's next Saturday at Wanakee High School. For details on that, visit muskieschool.com. I'll be there with a fly fishing seminar, and there are a lot of other speakers as well on virtually every topic related to muskie fishing. And the following Saturday, March 29th, Raised at Full Draw will present a turkey hunting seminar, The A to Z of Turkey Hunting, at the Outdoors Forever Conservation Club in Mauston. The seminar runs from 1 to 3 p.m. It only costs $10, and it's for beginners and veterans alike. So even if you've been hunting them for a number of years, you can learn something there, and you can share your expertise as well. For details, visit raisedatfulldraw.com. The DNR reminds us that the Ojibwe spring spearing season begins soon on lakes in northern Wisconsin. And if you're new to this concept, this is a right protected by federal treaties, and anyone interfering with that right could face legal consequences, which can include fines up to $10,000 and up to 9 months in prison. So let our Native brothers and sisters exercise their rights in peace, and we can all live in peace in Wisconsin. I think we've been pretty good about that in the last 20 years or so. And I almost forgot to mention this. Leftover spring turkey permits go on sale next week, with Zone 1 permits starting on Monday, March 17th at 10 a.m. For details, visit the DNR website. Keywords there, leftover turkey permits. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. His next performance will be Friday, March 28th at the Harbor Table in Washburn. Come for the show, which starts at 4. Stay for the fish fry. And for more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend and join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy ack is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a person with MS and autism and is an advocate for Medicare and Medicaid will join us. Going to be a very interesting conversation. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A powerful storm system heading east has spawned tornadoes. High winds have brought down power lines and trees and damaged buildings. 5 people have died in Missouri and multiple people have been injured. An emergency official in Villa Ridge, southwest of St. Louis.
There's multiple power lines down and it's still a very dangerous situation, so everybody just needs to stay out of the area. Vehicles cannot get through here at all.
A SpaceX rocket launched from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida yesterday with 4 NASA astronauts in a capsule headed for the International Space Station.
SpaceX Dragon, this is Crew 10 Commander Ann McClain. Thank you to all of the teams from across the world who contributed to the launch today. Days like today are made possible only when people build relationships, choose cooperation, explore boldly.
They're scheduled to arrive later today. Next week, the capsule is expected to bring back 2 astronauts who've been stuck on the space station for 9 months.